This is VSiN's Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We'll be talking some college basketball with our buddy Jim Root coming up bottom of the hour. We'll go behind the counter with Thomas Gable later on this hour as well. Connor Allen will join us in the final hour of the program, and Matt Eumanns in the final hour too. So busy show continuing along as we're with you every Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. College football may be pushed to the side a little bit, but I will talk some college football with you here in just a little bit as we get ready for two semifinals. Looking forward to both of these games as what an unpredictable situation. Did you know that prior to the start of the playoff and right before the bracket came out? Now, once the bracket came out, this odds went down. And actually, a buddy of mine tipped me off on this. We talked about it on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. On December 3rd, so before the bracket was unveiled, the folks here at Circa had Miami 200-1 to win the national championship. And now they are a favorite in the semifinals. Just think about that. The number you could have potentially grabbed on the Miami Hurricanes in early December. 200-1. There were a couple other shops. I think Stations had it 175-1, but they were all in the triple digits because, once again, you got to remember, the committee had told us that the head-to-head didn't seem to matter, and ultimately it did, and now Miami has taken full advantage of it, beating Texas A&M, and then the defense just insanely dominant on New Year's Eve against Ohio State. And watching the game New Year's night, Georgia and Ole Miss, we'll talk about this game more in depth here in just a moment. Seeing the way Ole Miss's offense, led by Trinidad Chambliss, won that game, I had a bet on Georgia. And as that game went on, I was thinking to myself, well, of course I want to win my bet. But if I don't win my bet, I kind of want Ole Miss to win this game. To see that offense go up against that defense is going to be spectacular down there in the Fiesta Bowl. But we do have week 18 of the NFL season upon us. Carolina taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 4:30 Eastern today. Right now, Tampa Bay, a 3-point favorite across the board, juice varying at different spots. And then we have San Francisco taking on Seattle. So much on the line in this one. The winner gets the one seed, winner gets the bye, loser is on the road. And more than likely, well, I guess it depends on how the Rams play. If Seattle loses, they're headed to the NFC South champion. If San Francisco loses, they could be the sixth seed headed to Philadelphia. So much up in the air when it comes to this game tonight, the importance of this game. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers.
One, it's nice to rest guys, you know, help guys recover and stuff, which is always good. But I think the simplest way to say it is, I mean, everyone's goal is to win a Super Bowl. And in order to do that, I would say it's easier to win three games than four games. You'd always rather play at home, no doubt about it. I think in football, out of all sports, home field advantage is the biggest advantage because I think crowd noise truly affects the game in terms of pass rush and things like that. But the main thing is just it's one less game. I'd love to be home. That's our goal. If that doesn't work out, we're excited to go on the road too.
You know, we've talked a lot about it. I don't have a dog in the fight for MVP or coach of the year. And we get into these discussions, especially in the gambling world, where depending on what ticket you have, you're defending it nonstop. And, you know, I remember a year ago with the rookie of the year discussion in the National League, Skeens versus Jackson Merrill, and just became this whole defense of what ticket you have. The coach of the year discussion is a pretty fascinating one because you look at Mike Vrabel and he's the favorite. And I have no issue with Mike Vrabel winning coach of the year. I mean, they were 5-1 to win the division preseason. They lose their season opener against the Las Vegas Raiders, and now they're going to lock up the AFC East, or already have locked up the AFC East. I have no issue with Mike Vrabel winning Coach of the Year. Kyle Shanahan getting a lot of push towards that award as well. He's second shot at plus 190. Am I crazy to ask the question, why isn't Liam Cohen getting more love? And his odds were 12-1 earlier this week. They're down to 20-1. And once again, I'm not saying here and saying that Liam Cohen absolutely should be the Coach of the Year. But Jacksonville is a team that's going to finish 13-4 and win the AFC South. They were not favored to win the division. The Houston Texans were. They're around 3-1 to win the division preseason. Not as impressive as the New England Patriots. And the New England Patriots more than likely are going to finish up with a 14-3 record as they wrap up this season against the Miami Dolphins. So I'm not, once again, sitting here saying that Vrabel shouldn't win the award, but I'm a little surprised that Liam Cohen is down there at 20-1 to win Coach of the Year. Now, maybe he finishes second. Maybe he finishes. I mean, there's a lot of viable candidates. Mike McDonald, if they win tonight, the Seattle Seahawks are going to be the one seed in the NFC. He's at plus 550. He deserves a hell of a lot of credit. If the 49ers win tonight, does that push Kyle Shanahan ahead of Vrabel? I don't think it does. Does anything out there push any one of those other three coaches ahead of Mike Vrabel? I think the coaching or the voting on this is going to be pretty fascinating to see how this all plays out. Now, we know Mike Tomlin's not going to win Coach of the Year, but the biggest game, arguably, of Week 18 is the one that will take place Sunday night in Pittsburgh. And I thought Sam Munson just a moment ago said how typical was that spot last week. I had the Browns. It seemed like the perfect spot for the Cleveland Browns. I didn't think they'd win the game outright. I thought they would cover against Pittsburgh. But how typical was it for Tomlin in that spot? But then now he's in the spot where he seems to thrive, as we've talked about all of the numbers in this particular role. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin heading into a win or go home matchup on Sunday night against their hated rival, the Baltimore Ravens.
I think there's certainly some things that are exclusive to Lamar, and that's not taking anything away from Hundley. It's just certain things that are Lamar and no other human on the planet. But largely, I think they play to a certain personality regardless of who's at quarterback, and I think that was on display a week ago. I think they're experienced in playing with Hundley. They know how to play with him schematically, and certainly he knows how to play and has logged some significant reps over his years there. One year, I think he was even a Pro Bowler when Lamar missed a significant amount of time. And so although it is a potentially a backup quarterback circumstance, I think it's some real fluidity there from their perspective. And to be quite honest with you, when things get thick, they play a certain way regardless of who's playing quarterback. And usually the ball is going to go through the big runner, and that's what we expect.
Lamar Jackson, as Sam pointed out, has not been healthy all year, and he will start tomorrow night. He should start tomorrow night if he's healthy, but he has not looked the same all year long. Is this going to be a spot where Lamar Jackson kind of reverts back to who he has been, a multi-time MVP? I grew up in that area, and I remember after college moving back to Baltimore and the nonstop talk about Joe Flacco. Should they extend him? Should they not extend him? And then he has the magical postseason run. He gets the big extension in Baltimore. It is kind of funny to think about the discussion regarding Lamar Jackson right now. He said yesterday, quote, "I was really hurt. I don't know why I got to get questioned. I never quit on my team before. I never quit anything, to be honest with y'all. I don't know where that noise comes from. Do you think Harbaugh would let me fall asleep in his meetings? I'm right in the front." So there's been a lot of criticism, once again, regarding Lamar Jackson. Does he rise up and overcome that criticism tomorrow. And once again, I keep reverting back to some of the trends in this series. In the regular season, when the line is 3 or more points, the underdog in the Steelers-Ravens series since 2005 is 24-5-3 against the spread. Mike Tomlin, as an underdog against the Ravens, 14-4-2 ATS. We will see what happens tomorrow night. Speaking of that game, one of the bets that Chris Felica put in last night in the Circa Friday Football Invitational was the Steelers plus 3.5. You got a hell of a battle, by the way, in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Chris Massaro currently in first place, 67-50-2, 72.5 points. His best bet is Chargers Broncos under 37.5. The Bear right on his heels, and Scott Pritchard not too far behind either with 70.5 points. And the Circa Friday Football Invitational is brought to you by our good friends over at Omaha Steaks. And just a reminder, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. We've got two semifinals coming up next week in college football. We discuss them next.
You're watching VSiN's Tailgate Show right here on VSiN, the sports betting network where you get your winners.
A busy day on the college hardwood, and we'll break it down for you with Jim Root, our good friend from the three-man weave. He will join us in 15 minutes. If you like home dogs, today might be your day. 11 ranked teams on the road against unranked conference foes. It's not a great day just on the surface when you look at the games, but the potential is there. In college basketball, we only have one game between ranked teams, Tennessee at Arkansas, number 19 Tennessee at number 18 Arkansas. Arkansas right now, Woo Pig Suey, a 2.5 point favorite in that one. But the possibility is out there. By the way, we almost had a massive upset last night, and I'll get the perspective on it from Jim Root. Gonzaga last night was a 24.5 point favorite against Seattle and trailed almost the entire game, came back, forced overtime, ultimately won that game in OT by 8. Don't worry, Michigan as a 22.5 point favorite, as mentioned at the beginning of the show, won by 30 against a ranked team, 96-66. That team is absolutely ridiculous. All right. What's been ridiculous have been the college football playoffs so far. Ridiculous in one sense that Indiana continues to be an absolute freight train, runaway freight train, winning 38-3 in the Rose Bowl over Alabama. But then also, if you want to utilize the word ridiculous again, Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss and is now the head coach of LSU, but Ole Miss is still playing. They're in the semifinals, and what a game that was to wrap up the quarterfinal round, a 39-34 win by the Rebels, back and forth. I will sit here and I just can't get over the decision by Kirby Smart and Gunnar Stockton. And we don't know what was said and how it all played out. You're down by 3. Ole Miss has exhausted their timeouts. And on third down, you fire a ball into the end zone. We knew that Ole Miss had Brandon Aubrey Jr. sitting there on the sidelines. Trinidad Chambliss has been running around like Michael Vick in Madden. You cannot throw the ball into the end zone. You're going to lose unless he's wide open, right? And that's the situation. If you run a play and your receiver is wide open, okay, make the throw and you're up four. But that decision to throw the ball into the end zone, also the decision to go for it on fourth and two from your own 33-yard line was a disaster. But what a game it was. Ole Miss, man, give them so much credit. Pete Golding, I had my questions whether or not they would be able to pull this off. A lot of us had our questions about Miami. Miami, a team that opened up the season with a win over Notre Dame, followed it up by a great month of September where they beat Florida, they beat Florida State, embarrassed South Florida. Remember, that was a trendy underdog. South Florida had beaten Florida the week prior. They were about a 17.5-point dog against Miami, and Miami destroyed them. But then Miami did what they tend to do under Mario Cristobal, and Carson Beck did what he has done in the past, which is turn the ball over. Four turnovers on a Friday night. They lose to Louisville. They go on the road. They lose to SMU in overtime. But the defense that we've seen from Miami, we've seen it all year. And Miami played exceptional football to close out the season, dominated Pitt in the regular season finale. Because the ACC's run by a bunch of morons. They had tiebreakers that didn't go their way. But I will say, the committee, this is in hindsight, the committee got it right having Notre Dame be behind Miami. The process to get to that was a disaster. And also, what I think many of us have discussed is, why did Alabama get the benefit of the doubt, as we learned in the Rose Bowl? But push that to the side. Miami is playing like an elite football team right now, especially on the defensive side. Reuben Bain, Mezidor, just two elite edge rushers wreaking all sorts of havoc. And you saw it against Ohio State. They were unable, Ohio State, to do anything. Our good buddy Chris the Bear Felica, he had a clip on his podcast last week saying the line in Miami, Ohio State was disrespectful. He was right. It was, because Miami was the better team on New Year's Eve. The Bear was on with Matt Eumanns last night on the Circa Friday Football Invitational, giving his thoughts on his alma mater, Miami.
I know you were very confident in the Hurricanes against the Buckeyes. Miami knocked off Ohio State. And right now you're not playing the side in this game, but you are going to play the total. Miami, Ole Miss, under 51.5.
Yeah, I can see this being kind of caveman football from Miami. Just a lot of running plays, a lot of milking the clock, not giving the ball over to Trinity Chambliss and that Ole Miss offense. And I could very easily see like Ole Miss having like 2.5 drives in the first half with the way Miami's ability to control the line of scrimmage, run the ball. As I could see, a very, very quick game. I am more worried about this game from a side standpoint for Miami than I was in the Ohio State game. Miami now is the hunted instead of the hunter. They're favored. They're kind of getting the pat on the back now about how, oh, well, they could win it all. And this is something that we were talking about for the last couple of months. And Ole Miss is kind of the plucky underdog now. Who knows who the hell is going to be coaching their team. It feels like everyone's been making the analogy of the Steve Fisher Michigan 89 championship game, but I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. I think possession totals for Ole Miss in this game will be low, and we're going to be looking at Miami really with the big time of possession advantage.
I think that's great analysis there from the Bear. Not surprised. He has really had the pulse of Miami, and sometimes you just know a team, you know, to back them, when to fade them, and the proof is in the pudding. He gives out picks on VSiN. He gives out picks on his podcast. He's been all over Miami this year. He's had a great feel of his alma mater. And I think his point about the total in this game is a very astute one, because Miami is not going to want to give the ball to Trinidad Chambliss. I don't know who the hell is going to be calling the plays. We see the latest reports out there that maybe some of these coaches are not going to be on the sidelines for this game. I mean, this whole thing is just a complete mess. You've got the assistant coaches that are headed to LSU, working the portal right now, but still trying to coach a team to win a national championship. I mean, Pete Golding, once again, coached two games as a head coach. Done a pretty damn good job. Got to give him credit. And I thought the defense, it was underrated and overlooked. The defense for for Ole Miss, I thought played a pretty darn good job. Did a pretty darn good job on Thursday night. I mean, think back to October 18th. 8 possessions, 8 scoring drives for Georgia. You got Miami taking on Ole Miss on Thursday night. On Friday night, you've got Oregon and Indiana. We've seen it already. Indiana went to Oregon and got the win. Let's hear once again from the Bear on the Ducks as they try to get some revenge against the fighting Kirk Cignettis.
How you look at the Ducks and the Hoosiers in that matchup in Atlanta?
Well, I laid the points with Oregon earlier in the year in the game at Austin, and obviously that was never the right side in that game, and now you see a pretty big adjustment with what Oregon was in that game to where they are now. I got a lot of Oregon futures. I got 10, 11 to 1. I got a bunch of stuff on the Ducks. So we'll see. I will be certainly rooting for Oregon to win the game outright. I may wind up playing some Indiana money line in that game. That way I don't get kind of got a middle if Indiana were to win by less than 4.5. But it's amazing what Indiana does. Like, you look at them compared to other teams, and you're like, how are they doing what they're doing? But they just – Nick Saban always said, like, bad loses more than good wins. And I think that's the key here with Indiana. They don't commit stupid penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They're always in position with Brent Haynes and that defense making the right play. There are no mental breakdowns. They're just a tremendously well-coached and drilled team. And maybe they don't have the best players. And so all the people with the stars ratings and the blue chip ratings about how you need this number of blue chips to win the national title, they're kind of on their seat's edge right now, because Indiana is two wins away from blowing all that up.
It's the greatest turnaround in the history of sports, what Kirk Cignetti has done. I'm not being hyperbolic. This is the most unbelievable turnaround in the history of sports to take over that football program that lost to Purdue in the final week 2 years ago, and now they are the betting favorite to win the national title. I think Oregon and Indiana is going to be an absolute war. I took under 47.5. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on, but it's a busy day of college hoops, and Jim Root is going to break down some games for us next.
Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network, where you get your winners.
The calendar flips to 2026, and we're like, oh, buddy, we got to talk some college basketball. But our next guest says, where you been? We've been talking college basketball for months. And of course he has been. Part of the three-man weave, it's our good buddy Jim Root joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Follow him on Twitter, at Second Chance Points. And Jim, before we dive into today's games, I want you to try to put things into perspective of what we're seeing from Michigan. This is just absurd. They come to Vegas. They obliterate everybody. They're a 22.5-point favorite last night against a ranked team, and they win by 30. How do you put what we're seeing from Michigan into context?
It's pretty difficult. I mean, they won by 30 last night, and they shot 6 of 30 from 3. Like, it wasn't some extraordinarily hot shooting performance. They shot 20% from beyond the arc. They just destroy teams at the rim. They have the best front court in the country. On our own podcast yesterday, I was trying to figure out how to contextualize this because Kai was really trying to dig into it. And I was looking back at some of the few truly dominant teams I remembered in the regular season, like 2015 Kentucky and 1999 Duke. And, like, I think what Michigan's doing is more impressive than even those teams. Like, Kentucky started off SEC play with 2 overtime games. I know Michigan had a couple of those to start the year, but now they're not turning the ball over anymore. They just get layup after layup, dunk after dunk, offensive rebound after offensive rebound. You can't score at the rim against them because Mata is so huge. And even when he hits the bench, you've got Landeborg and Morris Johnson. Their guards are playing very well with them. They're incredible in transition. I mean, there was a play last night where Mata got a defensive rebound and threw like a 75-foot pass to Roddy Gale for an and-one layup. And it's like the connectivity, the roster construction, the sharing of the ball, it's all come together for a truly elite team. And they're the best team I've seen at this point in the season in a long time. I remember a couple of years back, UConn was blowing everybody out and I think went undefeated against the spread in non-conference play. So maybe they're not quite to that level because they had a couple non-covers early, but the 20 and 30 and 40 point bludgeonings of legitimately decent teams, like beating McNeese by 40, it's fairly unprecedented to me. And I'm starting to have to submit to the fact that, yeah, they're plus 375 to win the title in January, and maybe that's reasonable.
I know. Everything about this team, we as bettors are like, we can't do it. You want me to? I mean, I tried to go against them. I think I took like 16 with Villanova, and they lost. They won by like 30. I was like, I've tried once or twice to go against the behemoth. I need to refuse to do it. Let's get into today. I was saying about today's slate, and I'm curious your kind of angle on it. It's not a great day, but it has the potential to be really weird, right? You've got 11 ranked teams on the road against unranked conference foes. We only have one game between two ranked teams. You know, as you take a step back before we dive into the games, what's your expectation for today? Because on the surface, it doesn't look awesome, but I think it has the potential to be weird. Maybe we're going to have a head coach chase after a referee. Oh, wait, we got that last night.
Yeah, just, you know, second straight night of that. Really turn on the chaos factor of the season here. Poor Micah Shrewsbury. Probably a little bit justified in his rage, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, it's an interesting question with the a lot of good teams on the road. I believe it was 2 days ago, a guy in our Discord, plug, Basket Under Review, join if you want, mentioned that road favorites in conference play are 50 and 34 against the spread. Like the home dogs have not been this like super strong spot where they're, you know, the crowd lifts them up and they're able to play up against better competition. I think that shows that like these really good teams going on the road are just that. Like they're not as impacted by crowd noise. They've been built from the beginning of the season, from the off season, that they can handle some of that. So I'm not trying to be too cute with a lot of the home dogs here. If I think a team is better on the road, I'm probably just going to take them and not think twice. You know, a great example of that is my alma mater, Mizzou, home dog against the Florida team that they beat last year. And Florida, I think, is going to come in with a vengeance, a little bit of anger, kick off SEC play after a disappointing non-conference. And I mostly will trust the road favorites today and let the chips fall where they may and see if the home dogs can actually have an uprising.
Well, the market has agreed with you. Florida up to a 7.5-point favorite. That was 6.5 overnight. The game that haven't seen much market movement. You know this state well. You didn't go to Wisconsin, but you're from Milwaukee. You got the Badgers at home, Kohl Center, tonight against Purdue. This number sitting 6.5, depending on what side you want to be at. Is this one of the home dog spots you would look at? What do you make of this Big Ten showdown in Madison tonight?
Yeah, I'm considering Wisconsin, but man, they've just not been very good against the top teams they've played. Now, almost all of those have been away from home. Like they got pummeled by BYU, pummeled by Nebraska, not very good against an okay, solid Villanova team, but that was in Milwaukee, not in the Kohl Center. Their best performances have been at home. What they did against Northwestern was pretty impressive to me. They schooled Marquette, who is admittedly terrible. But yeah, this is kind of a situation where these top seven teams, you can even start to expand that a little bit now. But Purdue is one of them. I have a hard time getting in front of them because the way they're structured, the way they've been playing, the way they've separated themselves from the rest of the pack, I have a lot of respect for those top teams. And you know, I don't know if you've talked about it at all, but KenPom recently added this average 2-point attempt distance to his team sheets. And it just shows like Purdue, they're dominant on offense, number one in offense, despite taking mid-range shots. And their defense is much better than last year because they force mid-range shots. They've got actual rim deterrence. So they're number two in the country in average defensive 2-point attempt distance. So they're forcing you to take mid-rangers. I think that sets up well for them as a kind of style that can travel on the road. My number leans to Wisconsin, but I'm staying off of it just because I don't really trust anybody against the top tier of teams right now.
Our good friend Jim Root at Second Chance Points joining us courtesy of our progressive guest line, Three Man Weave. Follow him on Twitter at Second Chance Points for great college basketball analysis. Jim, one of the games that just looking at how it all kind of shakes out, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to you that I'm intrigued in the dog, is SMU at home against North Carolina. What do we know about North Carolina? I know they have some decent wins, and fair could be said about SMU. I'm curious what your numbers come out to UNC, SMU, depending on where you look. We'll just call it a pick 'em. Here at Circa, it's a pick 'em. What do you make of the Ponies hosting the Tar Heels?
Yeah, I like this one. I wrote it up for the Basket Under Review watch list. It's really all about, can SMU handle North Carolina's size and the way they deploy that size defensively? It's all drop coverage because they're huge. They're one of the biggest teams in the country. They play 6'10", 6'10", 7 foot in the front court, and they just dare you to beat them in the mid-range. They give up a ton of them, and most teams can't really handle that. But SMU actually has three different ball handlers that can take the ball in ball screens, score in the mid-range. Both Boopie Miller and Jerron Pierre are shooting over 45% from mid-range. So that tells me, like, okay, we've got some weapons against this system. The problem is, can SMU get stops? And defensively, they've really struggled. They're pretty undersized, 2 through 4. And that especially matters against Caleb Wilson for Carolina. I think he's going to have a monster game here. If they double him, he's shown that he can distribute and find open pieces. So I actually lean slightly to Carolina here, but I do think both teams can score fairly efficiently. But the number's high total-wise. So I can't in good conscience recommend the over because I think it'll be slow. It's hard to get quick shots against Carolina's size. But I think an efficient type of game, and I'm going to lean on the size of the Heels. As much as it pains me to trust Hubert Davis as a road favorite, that's a little nerve-wracking.
All right. The thing I love about Jim is he can go anywhere. You know, it's not just the top 25 game. So we only got about a minute and a half left, Jim. I'm going to say dealer's choice. Take us wherever you want. The world is your oyster. Where are you looking at the rest of the board today?
That's a dangerous thing to give me, Tim. I'm gonna go two road favorites in mid-major conferences here for people. Two I really like. Samford -3 on the road at UNC Greensboro. Samford, coached by Lenny Acuff, was at Lipscomb, a really highly respected coach in coaching circles, like runs his own clinics that other head coaches go to, an offensive guru. They were really banged up in the non-conference. I think going to Greensboro, a team I think is really down on talent relative to their past years, you get a healthier version of this Samford team. I'm more than willing to lay 3 on the road there. I think I'd take up to 5. I just think Samford is going to trend way, way up in conference play. Greensboro got a win over Chattanooga earlier this week. I was on the wrong side of that one. I was on the mocks. But I think that trends back the other way here. And another one where I really trust the road favorite as a much better team than where they're going is UC Irvine, late night laying 4.5 at Cal State Fullerton. Fullerton was awful to start the year, first like month or so. They've been a lot better recently, but this is still like a men versus boys in this conference. Irvine has run this league for years. They're one of the best 2-point percentage defenses every single season. They've got a great shot blocker in Kyle Evans. They brought back Darren Sarin after a lost year at Stanford. I think they've got the defense and enough offensive firepower to put Fullerton away in what should be kind of an up-tempo game. Fullerton likes to get up and down, and for me, that helps the more talented team. I have this game up near 10, which I know is insane considering what the spread actually is in the market at 4.5. But I love Irvine. They're my favorite bet on the board today, the Anteaters at Fullerton.
There you go. Samford -2.5, UC Irvine -4.5. Once again, I knew he would go wherever we wanted to go. So that's the beauty of it. Jim, best of luck today, man. Always appreciate the insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. Appreciate it.
There he is. Jim Root, 3-man weave. Follow him on Twitter, @SecondChancePoints. Let's go behind the counter with Thomas Gable next. We keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. It is VSiN's Tailgate Show. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Always appreciate Jim Root giving us his college basketball expertise. And he said at this point, it's hard for him to, in his words, get cute with some of these home underdogs. You know, I love me some home underdogs, but I am going to dip the toe in just a little bit here when it comes to college basketball. A result yesterday worth noting. How about Navy getting the win and cover? They opened as the dog, closed a touchdown favorite, and covered every single number. The stretch service academies are on from an ATS standpoint in bowl season is now 20-3 going back to 2013. Shout out to Brad Powers for that nugget in his newsletter. All right. Did that affect the books, or were they just fine with everything and how it all played out in the quarterfinals? We've got week 18 of the NFL season as well. So you're wondering, how are these games being bet? Let's find that out right now.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
And let's head to the East Coast and welcome in from the Borgata in Atlantic City, our good buddy Thomas Gable, Race's Sportsbook Director out there at the Borgata. And Thomas, before we dive into the games today, I am curious, when you have Miami as a sizable underdog, they get home outright on New Year's Eve. You have all this steam on Texas Tech. They don't score a point. Alabama gets destroyed. That probably wasn't great for you guys. But then the creme de la creme, Georgia, probably one of the more public-sided plays of the postseason, they lose outright. How did the quarterfinals for you in college football play out?
Well, you did a pretty good summary there, Tim. I mean, you have a pretty good idea how it played out there with that, going game by game, because that's exactly what happened. I mean, Miami coming in obviously was the biggest dog of the four games, and them winning outright was huge. Now, that being the solo game on New Year's Eve, obviously didn't take as much handle as the other three games did, but I'll say this, there were plenty of bridge jumpers out there. I mean, willing to lay the 350 on the Ohio State money line, you know, then 50, 60, 80 grand on that, you know, just to pick up some quick dollars. At least that was the thinking. Didn't work out so well. So great result in that one for us. And then you did see the line. That, there was a line move in the Miami-Ohio State game. You did see Miami take some late money there on the spread in that one. But then with the Oregon game, as you mentioned, Texas Tech is off the favorite. And that one, not too big of a decision for us in that one. We actually won in the total, so good result there. Indiana, you know, blitzes Alabama and again, not a big decision really in that one for us, but the end result there with Georgia and Ole Miss, that was the best result of the four games for the house, and plenty of people on Georgia and just Ole Miss. I mean, listen, if you watch that game, the first half, Ole Miss made plenty of mistakes in that between the fumble. And the not being able to get off a field goal right mm-hmm. at the end of the first half there. So some coaching issues there, it seemed, in the first half. And then the second half comes out and Kirby Smart says, hold my beer. I can one-up you with my decisions here. And you see Ole Miss come away victorious. So, yeah, very good result there for the four quarterfinal matchups, and now obviously looking forward this week to the semifinals with the two games there on Thursday and Friday.
We'll get to those if we have time here. Thomas Gable giving us the latest from behind the counter. Week 18, just a unique monster, and I know it is every year for you guys behind the counter. How do you set a proper line? How are these things going to get bet? But we do have games with meaning, and we'll start today, Seattle and San Francisco. Right now, market sitting at San Francisco catching 2.5 points. Obviously, they've dealt with their fair share of injuries. How is this game being bet so far, and is there anything shaping up from a need standpoint, Thomas, for you guys tonight?
Yeah, I think we're going to need the Niners here. We opened this game pick, and early money obviously came in on Seattle. Seattle became a small favorite pretty early on, laying a point and a half, now up to 2.5, pretty much market wide. And really, when they got to that point and a half, or now it's certainly 2.5, what you have seen now play out, 49ers have become a very popular teaser play, because you can now get them obviously through the six, through the seven, and on the teaser. So a little bit of a dichotomy there, you know. Betting straight up, yeah, you look at the splits here, we're going to need the 49ers. But when you take into account some of these teasers, that's the Niners have been the popular teaser play in that one. So Certainly that game is the more heavily bet of the two today. This one obviously has a lot of meaning with the winner being the number one seed in the NFC and obviously winning that division as well. From a future standpoint, we're fine with either team in that winning that division, winning the NFC West there. So we're good there from that perspective. Now the early game with Carolina and Tampa, while Carolina wins, okay, yes, they are the division winner. Tampa, though, if they win, not quite the division winner yet, because then that will mean the New Orleans and Atlanta game on Sunday actually has some meaning in terms of the division. And also, I will say for that Sunday game, but, you know, two teams that obviously are nothing to do with the playoffs, does have some other meaning because the Saints obviously with Shuck there still in the running for offensive rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. With that market still to be decided. And the Saints also their season win total, their opening number was 6.5. Now their closing number was 5.5 on their season win. They've already gone over that. But they can also go over their opening number of 6.5 here if they win this one. So lot to be decided there with a somewhat meaningless game there on Sunday. But obviously, whether it has anything to do with the division, it's going to come down to the Panthers and Bucks here early. And Buccaneers have been taking the money between 2.5, 3 is where you're seeing that. We're still seeing Bucks laying the 3. Right now, it's Tampa's certainly been the one taking the early money in that.
Interesting. Thomas Gable joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line. Thomas, looking ahead to Sunday, we know it's win or go home with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And it was funny, we talked to Sam Munson last hour. He said it was so typical for Tomlin to lose that game. But the trends, last week I should say, but the trends in this rivalry for the underdog are massive. Has the betting public gotten behind those trends of how successful the dog has been in this Pittsburgh-Baltimore rivalry?
I'll tell you, Pittsburgh money line's been very popular here, Tim. You can kind of throw out the records when these two get together. It seems like it's always a 3-point game. So the fact that you can get 3.5 or even some places 4, with the Steelers, it certainly is tempting for people to take the points there. Now, obviously, Lamar is going to start here for the Ravens. And, kudos to Huntley. Snoop Huntley looked tremendous when his starts there. And obviously, Derrick Henry, the last game, he had just a monstrous game. So we'll kind of see how things play out now with Lamar back, whether or not that means – they lean as heavily on Derrick Henry or not, we'll see. It hasn't always been the case when Lamar is under center there. So, but yeah, right now the dog is getting bet here at taking the points, taking the 3.5, and also Pittsburgh money line, very popular with the bettors here.
Thomas, always appreciate the insight. 30 seconds, any need early in the semifinals?
Now, early money's been coming in on Miami in the first game, and right now, Indiana's been bet pretty heavily as well, early going, laying the 4 there against Oregon. So I have a feeling we're going to need the Ducks when all's said and done come Friday night.
Thomas, always appreciate the insight, and enjoy Week 18.
All right, thank you.
There he is. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director from the Borgata over there in Atlantic City, giving us the latest from behind the counter. Speaking of Week 18, it starts today. Carolina and Tampa in a battle for the one seed. Seattle and San Francisco will dive into those games top of the hour right here on VSiN's Tailgate Show.